Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Earners, what's up? Look, quick question. How is your social battery doing right now? I'll be honest, mine is a bit on the low side. Maybe it's not setting enough boundaries or just a typical slowdown after our super hectic work schedule. It's so easy to overlook our social needs or overextend ourselves, isn't it? What's your ideal balance of socializing? And how do you recharge? Whether you find energy in crowds or need more time to yourself, understanding your social needs is crucial. I remember a time when I struggled to balance my social engagement with my personal downtime. Y'all know us, we're always outside. So what really helped me was learning to recognize my limits and prioritizing my well-being. I've heard plenty of my peers champion therapy as a great tool for gaining this kind of insight. It's not just for big life issues. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life by equipping you with the skills to manage your social energy effectively. So if you're considering therapy, why not check out BetterHelp? It's an entirely online service, making it incredibly convenient and adaptable to your lifestyle. Just start with a quick questionnaire and you'll be matched with a licensed therapist. And if you feel the need to switch therapists for any reason, you can do so at any time without any extra cost. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earnyourleisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earnyourleisure. Don't wait, don't hesitate, head over there now.
Let's talk about this banking crisis. Let's take it step by step.
Another one. Yeah.
The latest one, UBS acquires Credit Suisse for $3.2 billion. Mm-hmm. So this is interesting. I actually posted this on IG where they were actually rivals.
Yes.
Yes.
Number one and number two.
In yeah, they were rivals for a while.
It's like Bad Boy buying Death Row in 98. Or 97.
Yeah. Very comparable. Yep.
Yeah. So, Credit Suisse fell into some trouble over the last week or two. And this weekend, the government forced regulators, forced the sale,
mm-hmm.
Gave them a deal that they couldn't refuse.
The only deal was, there was only one deal.
Yeah, basically.
this is your plan.
So, the company was valued at $8 billion market cap. They initial offer was $1 billion. They thought that was extremely disrespectful. The friends at Saudi National Bank, which is the largest shareholder, which they said, don't do it, urged them not to do it, countered back with a two billion franc offer. They said, don't do it. Settled for 3.2 billion. Sold. 1 billion, 2 billion, 3 billion, sold.
This happened, I mean, this, sold. How, 24 hours?
Yeah. Stock dropped 50% from Friday to Monday. And the whole world is once again going crazy. Another bank collapsed. And this time, this is a global bank. This is a large institution with global partners, billions of dollars on the books. Okay, how does this one happen? What's the deal with this?
This is so scary because this reminds me exactly of 2008, but we're acting as if the house isn't on fire. I'm going to go through the chain of events. When FTX collapse happened, it started to unveil the weakness and frailty of the overall banking system. For everyone in the crypto space and everyone in the Bitcoin space who has been railing and saying, hey, we need another currency to offset any potential losses or massive inflation, this is a prime example of why. Credit Suisse has been a terrible company since the last recession. So the last time they had a high was in April of 2007. It was like $79.29. It's literally been falling apart ever since then. In 2010, it got to a high of $59.66. Going back to the Slack thing, if Salesforce paid $27 billion for Slack, a piece of software, and Credit Suisse is only worth three? Listen, if these banks internationally fell apart, then regionally, we're having issues. You guys see that all the regional directors and regional CEOs went to go meet Warren Buffett. Warren is back to doing his JP, James Pierpont Morgan thing of bailing out the regional banks. We'll talk about that later. But if we're having solvency issues, liquidity issues, we told you guys 6 months ago that you can't even take a certain amount of money out anymore out of the bank. You have to order the money. There is a big systemic issue with our banks. And for them to say all of a sudden, hey, we're going to have to change legislation with the FDIC, where if you have more than $250,000 in, we're going to just shore up that money no matter what. I don't know where the money is, but it's not in the banks.
Yo, that's the part like we got to really talk about. And I saw somebody put up the most like simple form meme. And it was like, think about the process it takes for a retail, just like a retail person, like the everyday person.
Yes.
To go to the bank and get a credit card. Like think about all you have to go through just to get approved for a credit card. And think about the process that these regulators for these banks have to when they're making investments in like bonds and things like that.
Yes.
Like there's, if you just look at the investment a lot of the times, and that's what we were talking about last week, was like, who was approving this? Like what is the checks and balances when the banks are making these investments?
You don't need one when you know you're going to get bailed out.
Because it doesn't even make sense. Right? Like if we had a checklist for things that even if we wanted to get a home, like a loan from the bank, the amount of things that the average person has to go through.
Yes.
And a lot of times we don't even get approved, right? If that type of stipulation was put into the banks themselves, would we even be in the situation? Like, you said the word bailout, but they're not using the word bailout, right? Like the word that they're using is a commercial solution, right? So the government says, look, this is the solution. You need to take this because there is no leave. You are going to take this. What are you supposed to do?
Well, you know what's so crazy is
you got to take it.
Well, first off, everybody hit the like button and share. This is live, guys.
Yes.
I was talking to some people over the weekend and I realized that people are very disturbed when Market Mondays is not live.
Uh-oh.
Tell us why. Information is always live.
I don't know. I'm not sure why. They're very sticklers. So here's my thing.
Look.
I'm okay. I'm fine. Well, that doesn't prove that it's not
live. I'm just saying. This is
8:39.
Eastern
Standard Time.
First day of spring.
Yeah.
And somebody just said a commercial solution in the chat. Shout out to Juan.
But my thing is that I'm not opposed to it being live a lot, but we got to, if it's more viewers on the pre-recorded than the live, then what?
It allows for a better broadcast.
So
media training.
Let's get the viewership up. Let's push this bad boy up to 7,000, and maybe we can have a string of live videos. So
live, here we
hit
go.
The like button and share, and we can see what we can do.
Now, real leaders of the financial movement wouldn't have to manipulate the audience, Rashad.
Crowd manipulation, crowd participation. Wording is very important. So let's
commercial solution. That's where we left off at.
A lot of people have been asking about Ally, and this is a legitimate question because we have championed them. So it is something that we should talk about. Yes. And I actually spoke to some of the people at Ally during South by Southwest, and I asked them. I said, "Well, are people are concerned?" And this is what they told me. They said that we're in good financial standing. We won't fall to this issue. Variety of different reasons. They said that we're not a brick and mortar bank, so we don't have the same level of expenses. That was a legitimate thing. They said we don't take the same risk that a lot of banks take as far as the investment, and that seemed like a legitimate thing. So we'll monitor the situation. They told me that, and they gave me detailed reasons why. They don't.
One of which will say Warren Buffett has been investing heavily in Ally, quietly for like the last 2 or 3 years. That is a sign of confidence for sure.
So we'll see.
So give it to Ally.
But yeah.
For everything you need. We're all better off with an Ally.
We're all better off with an Ally. But another thing about this bank bailout situation is that I was watching something and they were saying that 6,000 people, that's all it takes to get people, 6,000 people on the viewership.
Shout out to all you.
Now let's get it up to 7. So let's do the Kevin Samuels and just stop talking. Let's try that.
Freeze. Let's try. Everyone freeze. Let's man, try. Don't move. Let's try that. Stop breathing.
Let's try that trick. See how that works. We're not asking for super chats. All we ask is for likes. So the bailout thing, and somebody said, like, you know, bailout got such a bad stigma that they stopped using the term bailout and they start using other words. They start playing around with words. Like, what did you say that they were using now?
Commercial solution.
Commercial solution. So, ladies, it's the same thing when guys be like, hey, baby, I ain't cheating. We in a polygamous relationship. The same thing. A swindle is a swindle called by any name.
Capricorn. So you know, I was watching this documentary about, you know, how to control the masses. And one thing that was interesting is that they said that the word propaganda technically is not a bad word, but after Hitler's regime, you know, Hitler had a whole propaganda campaign. So they didn't want to use that. Like when the people, Sigmund Freud's nephew is the father of all manipulation propaganda. So when he started his campaign in America, he said, okay, we can't use the word propaganda because it has such a bad stigma. This is how they created public relations. So what we know is PR today was a spin just because they didn't want to use, but it's really propaganda. But he said public relations is a much better way to put it. And this is something that the people will actually be interested in because you're naming it public relations. I say that to say this happens a variety of different times where something is just reworded. It's the same exact packaging. It's just reworded. And now it becomes appealing to the public. So you, as an intelligent person, be aware of things that are reworded in different packaging, but the same exact product, because it's not changing. It's only the name and what they call it is changing. And that's done intentionally for a variety of different reasons, but mainly to have public support.
Right. Can I give an example real quick?
Yes.
Systemic risk. Everyone put this in chat. Systemic risk means we F the money up. So if you hear a bank say we are currently at systemic risk or volatility levels have hit all-time highs, that means they have destroyed the company and effed up the bank. And they're trying to figure out a solution to get more money here to offset the losses.
Yeah. It's like the word insolvent. We broke, bro.
Broke.
We broke, bro. We don't have it. Bro, I ain't got it. We don't have it, bro. That's insolvent. We don't have it. I know we said we had it. We don't.
Yeah.
We're insolvent.
Ran off on a plug. Twice.
Yes. I want to plug twice.
Are we going to go through the same crash for the same reason?
And this it keeps is unbelievable. And it keeps happening.
Yeah.
So,
but if they don't have this commercial solution, or like we know as a bailout, what happens to the economy? First in Switzerland, but then on a global scale,
it falls apart.
The truth is, so in 99 through 2001, really 98 through 2002, the same thing happened. They overfunded tech ideas that were not amazing. So you can swap out pets.com for Rivian Motors or Lucian Motors or whoever you want to in this era. There was overfunding in the tech space because money was flowing easily. That caused the market to crash. And then we had like a lull period for 4 to 5 years where things are not going well. Technically, since 2019, without all of this extra money supply being thrown out and ruining and quantitative easing, having to be forced back in to keep the market afloat, like we're throwing all this money in to be like at break even or slightly above. Traders, this is like if you blow up a $100,000 account and you go borrow $700,000 to offset that $100,000 loss, but at scale. This is the same problem from before. The truth is, we need to let some of these companies catch on fire, burn, and then have new legislation in place and new rules. And I'll talk about it later tonight, but we need to fund more women-based companies and more companies that actually provide real solutions opposed to just going through all these angel competitions that are just slushing money around endlessly that keep propagating the same issue. Like we are literally going through the same thing from 2007 to 2008 and calling it something else and acting like we're not going through the same issues as before. It's heartbreaking.
Yo, I want to give like context to this because when I read this, I'm like, oh, wow. All right, so this is by the numbers. So UBS is buying Credit Suisse for roughly negative $14 billion, right? Yes. It's paying the $3.2 billion to Credit Suisse shareholders, but only because Swiss regulators are wiping out $17.2 billion of the bank's liabilities, leaving those bondholders with nothing.
Yes. It happened in 2008. Look at this. if you go, the ticker is TOT, so you guys can go look. The bond market, the 20-year bond was at 179.70. The bond market is at 105. Last year, it got to a low of 91 bucks. They destroyed the bond market, which is like the slowest and safest investment that you can have. How do you destroy the bond market and equities and real estate and crypto at the same time as soon as we get into it? You think that just happened accidentally overnight? By happenstance, no. This is the time I'm going to agree with Kramer. They are nuts. They know nothing. We need full change. We need a full regime change from top to bottom. This is unbelievable, man. Shout out to JP Morgan and Goldman and everybody. Y'all got to make some changes, though.
My graduates from my school being Forbes. Bag drop. Bag drop.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.